What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast with your boys, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Check it. What's up? We are back for a fabulous show today.
Of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. I think we should just do our easy jazz voices for this intro. No, I said voices, not easy jazz beatboxing.
I'm going to do my creepy voice again that I took from... What's his face again?
Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, Jeff Goldblum, yeah. Dude, if you haven't watched his YouTube videos, what's the hiking with...
Kevin Nealon.
Yes. Kevin Nealon and Jeff Goldblum, it's like they ended up hiking like in the dark because I think they started really late because Jeff Goldblum was running very late.
This is literally two episodes in a row where you rant about Jeff Goldblum.
He's freaking hilarious. I think he's just an interesting human and he enjoys everything in life. And I think there's something to learn from that.
Oh, there's something to learn from everything.
Come on, just try to do the Jeff Goldblum voice. Just
I haven't listened to him as recently as you have.
It involves a lot of gyrating your... Yeah. Don't gyrate anything, actually, with me. Thank you. All right, moving on.
All I think about is Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park, because I've seen it fairly recently.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did he do a lot of...
We actually showed the kids Jurassic Park.
What'd they think?
I don't remember. I think they might have, like, went off and played Legos, like, halfway through.
The original, right?
Yeah, the original.
Okay, yeah. 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 How many were there? Like,
I don't 10? Know, 19 or something now? I don't know.
Yeah, there was one in San Diego, and I think that was, like, the worst one.
There was, like, three or four before they started doing, like, Jurassic World stuff. Oh. I can't remember if there was three or four. There's been two Jurassic Worlds, and I think there was three original. So I think they're on five now.
Jeez. Yeah, I dropped off, actually, when it was, like, the San Diego one. I was it's kind of different now.
Yeah,
I've never seen no dinosaurs here.
Yeah.
Southern accent.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know who's not a dinosaur? Casey Zeman.
Maybe he is.
Do you like my transition?
Well, I mean, he's never
not a dinosaur.
He's never told us anything otherwise other than being human, but he operates like a not like a dinosaur because
Casey Zeman, he's
what a dinosaur operates like. Casey's not a dinosaur, damn it.
No, he's actually the founder of EasyWebinar, a tool that we use for running our own automated webinars and things. It's a great tool, and we're going to actually
it's actually a badass tool. If you're doing webinars, that's your tool.
Sure,
okay.
One up my adjectives, thank you.
Raising the energy here because legitimately that thing is... Absolutely amazing.
So here's the crazy thing about Casey. Casey literally went from no kids to three kids in like a year and a half period or something like that.
And you wonder, how is that possible? He'll explain.
Yeah. So we actually we were very curious about how that whole dynamic is of like, he's an entrepreneur. His wife's an entrepreneur. They brought three kids into the household and
he runs a very successful business with a big team.
And how do you balance all that? So we really deep dive into like the balance of being a dad of three kids and running two businesses as a family and how that dynamic works and how the daily routines have to happen to make all this work in his business. And
Instagram stuff as well. That was a big topic. He's blowing up on Instagram and it's a personal brand thing, but he breaks into like why he does that, his strategies, some easy takeaways you could do from this conversation. And then back to actually kind of figuring out the easy webinar stuff, we touch on that too, the new stuff that's happening, growth hacks. He laid out five growth hacks that he's using for that business this year and explained how they have this roadmap and KPI. There's different indicators that keeps their team on point as he's like, he has this very structured schedule, which is actually a benefit, which you'll learn.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. It's a great conversation. Casey's a good friend of ours. He was on the show a year and a half ago or so. And so if you don't know who Casey is, the backstory's over there.
Yeah,
but
you know,
we'll link it all up in the show notes.
We actually, for EasyWebinar, we use EasyWebinar ourselves, which is why we promote it. We only promote stuff and talk about it, stuff that we use. But we actually created a website over at grabeasywebinar.com. And over on that site, we've actually posted content about ways that we're using it, ways that other people are using it. We compare it to the other webinar platforms that are out there, like the competition and why we like this over the competition. And we wrote a whole bunch of content and training tutorials and things like that all around EasyWebinar. So definitely check out grabeasywebinar.com. That is where you will find our affiliate link, but it's also where you'll find all of where we talk about EasyWebinar. So check that out. And we should dive in with Mr. Casey Zeman.
Casey Zeman. Let's do this. Casey, you're back.
I am back.
Round two.
It's been a year and a half. More.
Yeah, we actually just looked it up before we jumped on, and it was a year and a half the last time we chatted.
Is that right?
Yes.
A whole year and a half?
Yeah, since we chatted on the podcast. Maybe a little less. I think it was November. So like
it was November.
It was like a year and 4 months ago.
2017.
Where does time go? And like, what has happened since then?
Wait, a lot. Your family kind of exploded.
I was
going to
say, how old is your daughter right now?
Yeah, you're right. She's two.
She's two. Okay, so you had your daughter already, but now you've got two more kids since the last time we chatted.
Yes, I have my two sons finally came back from Haiti, mm-hmm. probably 4 months after I talked to you guys. So if that was in November, I went to Haiti to bring them back home last February. So last month, a year ago, basically, based on when we're making this podcast session. But yeah, like it's been, so they've been with us now for a year.
That's
a little over a year. And so
how long was that process? So when did you start the process?
2014.
Wow.
Dang. Oh my god.
Yeah.
And you picked them up in 2018.
We put our envelope in the mail
uh-huh.
to start the adoption process and a check to the agency we were working with at mm-hmm. the time.
That's wow.
That's when it all went down.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
everything's settled now. So that's cool.
It was a tumultuous experience, like the entire process, which I probably talked to you guys about because we are at the end of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm actually curious what my energy level was at the time because it was like,
I think you always put a good front up. You know, you're a good forward facing person. So.
Yeah,
I don't think people would really notice the difference.
Well, just the whole like instant family thing in a very short window. You went from no kids to three kids, and that's pretty intense.
Yeah, I mean, it was that's pretty crazy. Yeah. I mean, we and it's like you don't get prepared for something like that. You just are thrown in, and you're like, yep. And then you create a routine around it, and mm-hmm. so now we are very scheduled, and that's why, of course, like this session was, you know, kind of crazy because I have one kid that's being driven to gymnastics, my other kid's in school, and the other one is laying down for a nap. And you know, even with full time help, someone has to be around also. Yeah. So it's like it's kind of nuts, but it's okay because like we're pretty scheduled up, and you know. But we live and die by the schedule. I mean, that's pretty much it.
That's a good actual place to start. We went into your backstory in the previous episode, so we're going to make sure we link that up below this episode. So if you want to hear Casey's backstory and how he became an entrepreneur and, you know, how he was doing acting and then shifted into all the cool stuff that he's doing now, then YouTube stuff, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. We talk about all that in the previous episode we did. So I want to jump into one of the newer questions we like to start to ask guests is actually about their daily routines and kind of like what their day-to-day looks like. So, you know, based on what you just said, it's a good transition. What does your day-to-day look like? What does a day in the life of Casey Zeman look like?
Well, so every day is obviously a slightly different because my wife is an entrepreneur as well. She has a Pilates studios in Los Angeles, while I have, you know, I have my office not in the house, but I have a you know, garage converted into an office basically. And so every day starts off with basically waking up at 6:30. When the kids start rolling out of bed, mm-hmm. One of our kids goes to elementary school five times, you know, 5 days a week. The other one goes to preschool three mm-hmm. days a week. And then our daughter is kind of too young to do either of those two. So she doesn't do that. And we have a full-time nanny. So we get up at like 6:30 or so. Whichever kids are awake, we kind of go and help them because our oldest son has to get ready for school. So we go and make lunches and breakfasts for them. And pretty much my day is designed towards getting them ready to go to school or getting them ready for whatever their plan is for that day. And then the nanny shows up at like some days, like Tuesdays and Thursdays, it's at 7:30. I mean, if I showed you what my calendar looked like, you guys would be like, what the? Because it's like literally, like I am so bad with my own scheduling. Like you can ask anybody, like I screw up schedules nowadays a bit more because I have so much less time, right? And so like my window is tighter. Even with a schedule like that has back-to-back stuff in my calendar. But most of it is like based around children, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, so we get them. So I will probably take our oldest to school. And so that's at 8 o'clock, and that's on like on a Monday. So I'll just do a typical Monday. Mm-hmm. Monday, I take my son to school at around 8 a.m. Our nanny shows up at 8:30 or so, and she's there with our daughter while our other son is taken to school for at 9 a.m. So after my son is dropped off at school, I go to a coffee shop. I get a kombucha, I get a coffee, and I do just some emails and some touch base with the team before 9 a.m. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I drive my other son to his school at 9 a.m. I come back into my office and I do a 2 o'clock, two hour meeting with my team, basically at that time. Mm-hmm. We cover everything. So on Mondays we do product. That's more of a product meeting where we talk about the product, growth, all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. Then we have a dev meeting on Wednesdays. That is also about two hours. So we try to devote those times to easy webinar meetings because we're a virtual team. And that's when we get those done. After that, after the 2 hour meeting, I may have some other meetings lined up. But typically what I try to do is have a block of time where I can devote my energy towards some sort of action, whether it's rewriting a webinar or whether it's looking at our funnels or whether it's talking to one of our, you know, content strategy people, you know, whatever the case may be. I devote the next couple hours to that. And then I get lunch. I walk my dog because I have to walk the dog around the block as well.
Cool, so not only Instagram kids, videos. But the dog.
Yes. and then when I'm done with that, I'm back in my office by 2 o'clock, to make sure that I have my daughter who's napping, so I can be here for her while my nanny goes to pick up our sons, our other two kids. And so I'm back in the office at 2, and typically at that time I am talking maybe to my sales guy and figuring out, you know, see how the coaching is doing and just checking in periodically with different actions. But that's basically a day in the life. Tuesdays, I'll try to hit the gym, you know, and so I probably get to the gym maybe 2 to 3 times a week.
Do you do a lot of Pilates?
I actually don't have a lot of time to go to my wife's Pilates classes anymore, but I want to, I need to.
Pilates is crazy.
I don't know if you guys saw on Instagram, I'm doing this interview with a guy named Justin who has... he's a dad of 3 and he's from Ohio. I know him from Lewis House's Mastermind. Mm-hmm. He's coming to my wife's studio in LA. He's going to have 3 cameras set up and we're doing an interview all in a plank for 5 minutes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's going to be crazy.
I'm not sure I can do a plank for 5 minutes, let alone interview in the process.
Yeah. Like he's going to interview me and we're going to be holding the plank for five
that's
minutes.
That's so cool. I want to watch that.
I'm not sure if like you can can move around on the plank or go down your forearms onto your hand, you know, your hands or what. I'm hoping so because I've been trying to at the gym, I'm bringing it up because you say Pilates, I've been trying to self-motivate myself to do more planks and core stuff.
Dad bod too, you know?
That's right. Yeah,
dude, exactly. Casey has the least dad bod of any dad I know.
I was like, he's always had massive guns and freaking...
Hey man, I have to, you know, otherwise, because, you know, I have a sweet tooth, so I could go crazy on just eating a bunch of like... things that I should not be eating, and then it just could spiral out. So I have to try to be on top of it.
So I'm curious about prior to kids, Casey, and your scheduling to now, like, obviously you love your kids, but in terms of scheduling, like, do you prefer one or the other? Like where you were?
Oh man. Well, I noticed that I don't have as much time to be all, I think I mentioned this to you guys when I saw you in San Diego, but I don't have as much time to be in my head mm-hmm. as I used to. Like I think I was always like I'd find that I was just filling time with silly, unproductive action. Yep, right. Yeah. And I find that now I may do that, but it's like really short. And yeah. then I try to have productive action on top of it. So, and then I always noticed that I would beat myself up for having that non-productive action, and I would spend time beating myself up.
Yeah.
So now I just don't even have time to beat myself up. And when those moments occur, and I just realize overall, I'm less in my head about things in general.
Yeah.
Like I have to just let more things go. I have to rely more on my team. And there's good and bad to that. You mm-hmm. giving up control is difficult for people that are control freaks. And I consider myself one of them, especially if you care a lot about, you know, how you are portrayed or what you're doing for people. So
sure.
I care about that. I care about the continuity around that. And, oftentimes I have to, rely on my team and the people that work with me to be able to portray that or even put that out there in the best way possible.
Yeah.
And so it's allowed me to do more of that, to be able to trust a bit more. And so it's, I feel like I've been working less this year with mm-hmm. with all the kids home than I ever have. And maybe it's just because I just don't have as much time to actually. Like I'm not at 5 o'clock, I'm not sitting in front of my computer mm-hmm. working. I can't.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm done by 3:30, you know,
yeah.
On two of the days. So it's like, I mean, again, I just don't find as much time, especially with like, yeah. And over the weekends, I'm not working at all. Like, yeah. I'm like,
oh, same. With family.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've got two yeah. kids and just, I can definitely relate. I feel like having kids makes me much more intentional about every single action, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm not just, people like give me crap about not responding to Facebook messages or, hey, did you see that post on Facebook yesterday? No, dude, I haven't been on Facebook in like 4 days. You know, like I'm just so much more intentional. Mm-hmm. When I'm at my computer, I have like this set of things I need to do and I'm going to be at my computer as long as it takes me to do those. And then I'm done because I've got family stuff to deal with. I've got kids. I've got, you know, my yeah. kids are both in school now. One's in kindergarten, one's in preschool. So pretty much same thing. My mm-hmm. daughter's in elementary school, which starts at 8. My son's in kindergarten 3 days or preschool 3 days a week, which starts at 9. So we're kind of yeah. juggling getting kids around. But now both of my kids are in softball and t-ball. My daughter's in softball, my son's in t-ball. So that adds like new complexity of like running kids around and stuff too. And it just
is that during the week or over the weekend?
Yes.
Both. All of the above.
In fact, Joe came to my son's t-ball game on Tuesday. So, I mean, like, it's during the week and weekends. It's
yeah.
like,
yeah.
There's yeah. pretty much something going on with one of their sports teams almost every day of the week. It's pretty right. crazy. And it just forces you to be so intentional. It's like, I've got these things I need to get done today, and then I gotta get away from that and go, you know, help over in this side of my life. And so yes. I can yeah. definitely relate to that.
Well, I have an interesting, and the reason I kind of asked this is, you know, like we're hopefully going to have a kid soon ourselves, but we've fostered. Yeah. So we've had this, I've had that routine, this feeling you're talking right. about, but now it's been interesting because it's been about 6 months where that last girl we had is gone. So mm-hmm. I've almost found myself slipping a little back into what you just described is like these little random time wasters that you kind of unconsciously do, but then you beat yourself up. Or like I notice I stay up a little later now, you know, and wake up mm-hmm. a little later, and maybe it's just the natural thing. But yeah, with kids, like I actually liked it more because of the structure.
Yeah. I'll actually stay up late a lot of nights every once in a while. Like I'll just be like heads down focused on like building a landing page or something, you know, and I'll lose yeah. track of time, and I'll look up at the time and I'll be like, ah, crap, tomorrow's gonna suck.
It's gonna be rough.
You know, yes. and like, yeah. so you have like a few night, like maybe like one night a week, I'll stay up really late. And then the next day really sucks because like my kids don't let me sleep in, you know? So
no.
it's like,
no,
I know it's gonna suck. And then that kind of gets me through the rest of the week going to bed at a decent hour.
Yeah. I find that's what I do as well. Like I'll stay up maybe one night. Like I really try to be in bed by, I mean, it's like 10:30. I want 8 hours.
Yeah.
And yeah, Joe, I think you're right. Like, if I had to compare it, I mean, it's, you're at a different point in your life when you're without the kids and mm-hmm. with the kids, right? It's mm-hmm. like, so it's like two different things. You're just like, you know, who's to say what's better or, you know what I mean? But sure, like, sure. For me, I think that I like that I'm not so much in my head. For whatever reason, business has been growing even without me having to, you know, be so like crazy about it. You know right. what I mean? Like, so like dictatory about it. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
Like, and I think when you have time to obsess and be that dictator, it can, you know, it can, you can make maybe, I don't know. I
think you're right.
Maybe you make choices based on your own anxiety or, and things like that, where now I try to make choices based on, you know,
best use of your time kind of
best
thing.
Best use of my time, yeah. But also like the fact that I, you know, I think when you also have kids and people that you know, that rely, you mm-hmm. know, like I can't, like I have children. I can't like, and I know what my expenses are on a monthly mm-hmm. basis, and that's ridiculous. And so I know what I need to do yeah. to make sure that I cover that. And so I don't know. I just find that, I mean, all the stakes have been raised yes. to a degree,
yeah.
and you both know this. And so I think that stakes have been raised, but I'm not working as much, but I'm more intentional with the work that I do.
And yeah. your expenses, you know, haven't it. Gone down necessarily with three kids either.
No. They just no. tripled.
Living in Southern California is not a cheap place to live. We no, all live in right. Southern
he's,
California.
He's in the middle of yeah. LA too. So
yeah, yeah. yeah. It's, man, and school's not cheap.
No.
And full-time help is not cheap. And, you know, our children, they eat a lot. when our boys came home, you know, these boys are from Haiti, and they were like literally starving
yeah.
and malnourished. And so they have a habit of just eating and eating and eating. One is five, one is four. And my oldest son, he will like eat like 10 hot dogs.
Oh man.
10 hot dogs for lunch.
Wow. Jeez.
And it's like, you're like, man, how are you? Like, you have to, I sometimes have to do a belly test. I'm like, look it, before we eat any more, I need to do the belly test to see if you're full.
Is that hollow in there? You,
yeah. Yeah. So I'm like tapping it like a drum. See it like, okay, that's too full. Just relax. Take a moment.
Yeah.
Because
this hot dog you didn't chew, I can still feel the shape of it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I've
never heard of this stomach tapping yeah. concept.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, I made it up,
that's but good. You
know,
I like
still
it.
They think it's like, oh, dad is medically, he knows what he's talking oh, yeah. about.
Well, I mean, it's the same way that like kisses heal things, right?
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Exactly. They're like, oh, well, dad did the tap. I must be full. But it's really just because they don't have like, they don't have like as a natural how to stop eating
point.
Thing yeah. going on right now.
Yeah, because for them, so I'm sure stopping was when the food ran out.
Or survival, exactly. I mean, yeah. where they yeah. came from. Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's still that remnant of that, you sure. know, in whatever they're doing. So, but anyway, food is ridiculous. It costs and
well,
way too much.
I was gonna,
you brought up it. Eh?
Well, one last thing I was going to say on this whole conversation was another thing that for me, and I'm almost positive it's going to be the same for you, and I know for Joe as well, is having kids has forced us to rely on other people. Like,
how do you know that's where I was going to go?
I didn't know that's where you're going to go, but it's sort of forced us to rely on other people, right? Like, you can yeah. no longer be that solopreneur that's like the hero of the business that needs to
yeah.
kind of try to get everything done yourself. You just can't anymore. You don't have the time anymore. And so right. I feel like having kids, that was sort of the next evolution, was that was a big catalyst for us going, okay, we can't do this alone.
Yeah. Yeah. So how does that look like? So you mentioned the whole, you know, you have a tendency to really have a controlling or have your finger on the pulse of a lot of things in your business, and mm-hmm. your software business, Easy Webinar, there's a shit ton mm-hmm. going on there, I can imagine. Yeah. And then you have the marketing side of it, design, right. all this stuff. I mean, you were kind of forced to rely on the team, and you've had it before, but what are some key things you've learned that are just essential, maybe things that you didn't realize, the power of a team or some struggles you had to get through?
So yeah, I think it's like the team has to all be on the same page too. Like everybody has to know what's happening in every other department. So we have to know what's happening in the help desk on a daily basis. that will supply the developers enough insight into what fixes we need to do in order to make the process better for clients or customers. While at the same time, you know, for like operations, we have to know, you know, if there are things that are going to speed up, you know, any type of process. So I think it's like, I think having the like the full meetings where everybody comes together gets everybody on the same page, and then I'm not the one that's making the decisions on certain things. Like everybody has a KPI that they're responsible for, right? So like if like in the help desk, you know, if someone drops the ball in the help desk and they don't get on with somebody, you know, that they have that key performance indicator of not showing up to that ticket or not responding to that ticket can always kind of end up in you know, losing a monthly subscriber, right? Or if someone comes in and says your platform is not easy to use, or you know, like, you know, I can't seem to get, you know, I'm technically stuck, oftentimes the developers, their KPIs, you know, are around the simplicity, right? So everybody, and simplicity, the simpler it is, the easier it is, and the more monthly retention we get with, you know, a customer, like the lifetime value of a customer is higher. And so everybody kind of has KPIs, like the developers, they're, we have a lot of different, the like help desk department, like customer support and customer experience, and also dev, that both of them have a KPI for longevity of subscriber, right? While we have while we also have sales, who obviously is how do we increase our you know, first touch conversion, right? And so they have certain KPIs too. So once we started creating sort of KPIs for the different departments where they have responsibility, but it's not it, but they have ownership around that responsibility, it started to get easier, right? So they take ownership, like, you know what I'm saying? Like they're responsible for, you know, for keep for whatever department is responsible for X.
It's like,
you know,
an expectation, like, of that
role. That's what their job is. That's their role. So once we did that, implemented sort of that experience in where everybody is responsible for, you know, and they take ownership of whatever their role is and how, and then we create and define a goal around that. It allowed me to sort of like, just like, you know, sort of be CEO, but also not even maybe a little above CEO, where I didn't have to be in the day to day. I have operations that can do that and things like that. So, so if that, does that make sense? That's so, I mean, I think that was,
I mean, a, I think there was some gold in there. Just the fact that everybody on your team has their own KPI that they're responsible for is really, really smart. And I don't think a lot of people treat their business and their team in that way. I don't think a lot of people look at, okay, what KPI can each person own that's going to help increase the, you know, the revenue generation, the retention, the whatever marker you're going after for your business.
And who is the one that, so is this you that tracks them and brings people together and you discuss, or is that your ops manager, someone on your team?
Yeah. So we have a, you know, we have a meeting that we're like, me and my partner, we say, all right, let's do our meetings at this time. And then operations comes in and brings everybody together. Like our operations manager, he kind of does a meeting with the help desk guys to really figure out what's new, what's happening, you know, kind of the pulse of what is directly happening with the customers. So then he can come back into the meetings and say like, well, this is what we're noticing in the help desk, or we're noticing these trends of like bugs or trends of like customer success or customer, customer problems, you know. So it's like that's how we do it. And then, you know, and then everybody, so we have a meeting that is around, you know, what's happening. And then we transition into, what our goals look like and how we're how those goals are going, right?
Got it,
are we on track? Where are we not on track? Mm-hmm. What are we, you know?
Cool.
Because everything, you know, you even though you may have like, this is where we want to get, right? You don't always get there, right? And you know, anything can happen in the process of trying to get there.
Sure.
Like, oh, this person got sick and they can't now focus on this particular thing that they were going to do. Or, oh, well, we're now in transition. We need to hire this person or that person.
You're basically getting feedback, it sounds like. So all this feedback can help you refine a process or maybe help that person in their role to succeed better.
Yeah. And I mean, part of like, because, you know, we have a SaaS business, we're trying to look at growth numbers in a really specific way. So that we know where to put our attention into, you know? And so I think a lot of it is like seeing what we want to do and be in the future, while at the same time, if we don't see the bridge to get there, then we're just kind of doing these leaps. So we have to kind of have this bridge of, okay, well, how are we going to actually get to, you know, this is our number we're trying to hit, right? All right. Maybe we're at a run rate right here. And how do we get from here to there? You know, so we've put actual pieces in that will be stepping stones to be able to attain that.
Right.
We're not there yet, but it's like we at least made the bridge so that we can start to get there. Like we have like 4 or 5 growth hacks this year that we're putting into effect that will help us to get to those goals.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we knew that we wanted to hit a certain point, and so we're looking at a few factors, but we're not looking at it blind. And I think that's the important thing.
You have a roadmap, more or less.
Yeah, we have a roadmap. We may not be on track as often as we want on that roadmap, but at least we have it so that we can know where we're at least trying to attain, whether it happens in a year, whether it happens in 24 months or more. You know, it's like, I think at least if you have the roadmap, which that can also change a little slightly, but as long as you have a track of where you're going, I think that's the most important thing, right?
I think it's cool.
Are you willing to share what some of those growth hack ideas are, or those stuff that you're kind of keeping tight to the chest right now?
No. I mean, I can tell you what my goal is.
Mm-hmm.
My goal is, so I looked at it like, how many customers do we want a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
My goal is 1,200 customers a month, right? That's the goal I want to strive for. And I want most of those customers to be in our pro level, even though right now, 30% of our total customer base buys the pro, right? Mm-hmm. So what can we do to get more people into the middle package and other higher level packages? And then also what are kind of some upsells we can do? So anyway, 1,200 customers a month, that would, we would be on track for what we want to do with 1,200 customers. And so with that idea, I was like, well, how are we going to get there? There's a few things that we're adding. And I think I talked about this with you guys maybe in San Diego, but one is we're working on a free trial.
Mm-hmm, right.
And the free trial that we're working on is not, I think we actually had a free trial, but people would have to come to us to get it. And it was like 30 days, but like you'd have to pay for the year, but you'd get it for 30 days free. So we're working on a different version. It's not out yet. And we have some things we need to do before we roll out that free trial. And one of them is we're working on a different UI experience.
Right.
So the user interface is going to be changing before we do the free trial. But the free trial, I think we'll be able to get more people in to where we can convert from the free into paid. That's one initiative we're doing so that we just get more customers and clients that way. We're ramping up our Facebook ads, and focusing more on very specific ads, and then cross funneling after like say 1 or 2 ads in the front. Right. So we're trying to really get pinpointed with that. We hired a new, Facebook person specifically, for that. And let's say, so we also have some things that we're going to be working on is some rebranding techniques from our homepage. So we're going to be doing a rebranding that is around messaging. Like we're just dialing in the message for the pages that we have. So like maybe the homepage,
split testing and things like that.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing more with highlighting our customers a bit more on our homepage, and we have some content strategy. So another thing is that we are we're going to do a couple more different things with content marketing strategies, where we're highlighting stories of our customers and clients a bit more, and putting that out there, highlighting them on the homepage, and that also goes into we want to be more intentional with our strategic partnerships this going forward, like affiliates and partnerships, so that we just are, you know, we're creating great relationships with partners and getting them, you know, recurring revenue, because we have we've noticed that, you know, over the last year or so, our people are our churn is a lot less than it used to be, and could be due to, as I said, some of those KPIs that we've now set up for our team, could be due to our onboarding process, could be due to just the fact that when people come in, they get they start to build out their webinars and they stick around longer. But I think it has a lot to do with like what we're doing to keep outreach going with our customer base, and as such, our partners and affiliates, they can feel confident in the fact that they're going to get paid on a more consistent basis, right?
Yeah, we like it already.
Well, I mean, it's funny that you bring that up, because we reached out to you, what, maybe a month ago now, saying we're noticing things are actually starting to pick up with our promotions of Easy Webinar. We're noticing people will stick around longer. We're noticing it's kind of starting to kick in a little bit, at, you know, from an affiliate perspective. Let's chat and kind of brainstorm some ideas that we can be better affiliates, because we've noticed the same thing about Easy Webinar.
Yeah, that's right. And so because we've noticed that, I mean, you know, even when we do like, you know, kind of promotions specifically with people, and then, you know, it's over a period of time, those people, we don't see a big drop off. We still see a pretty strong retention, even when people buy the yearly packages. So so I think it's due to some of the initiatives we're taking, maybe. Also, our reputation in the marketplace is, you know, is pretty strong right now. We have great people that are using our system, that are talking about our system, and maybe people are just seeing Easy Webinar a bit more. And so, anyway, like going in with more strategic partnerships, like with also SaaS platforms, like, you know, Teachable is using Easy Webinar, and ConvertKit is using Easy Webinar. And we saw the Optimized Press guys, you know, in San Diego, they're using Easy Webinar. So I think that not just like partners with influencers, because that's a big part of what we'd like to do, but also SaaS platforms as well.
Yeah, we've always said, like, man, like as a software company, just integration, but that's marketing. Like that's all promotion opportunities.
So like ManyChat, I gotta reach out to Mikkel, because we talked about doing something with ManyChat and getting into their integrations page. So like there's little things like that. And then one other one is actually like outbound sales. So instead of like the whole inbound, you know, funnel stuff, we're talking about having a team that literally does some outreach to our, to do outbound sales, like connect with people that might be using our competitors' tools and try to get them into strategy calls to see if there's something we can do for them, and try to go more into enterprise level, but also very specific sort of, you know, marketplaces that we have customers in, you know, like service-based businesses, or, you know, where we just see a lot of people, you know, like online course creators and like just things like that, that, you know, we can get more into doing outbound sales with some email lists that we're pulling up and putting together.
Yeah. Very cool.
That makes sense.
So I wanted to ask about, did you have something else on this topic?
No, go for it.
I was going to change topics a little bit. I actually wanted to ask you about your Instagram because, you know, Joe and I, we've really kind of started to put more focus on Instagram. I kind of feel like that's where most people are going now. It's the social media channel that I prefer to hang out on.
It's a good branding play.
Good branding.
Yeah, credibility.
And we've just noticed on Instagram, we've just seen your brand really kind of grow rapidly on Instagram. And we were hoping maybe you could give us some insights because we're trying to achieve similar results.
Well, it also just looks great. And it looks like you have a formula to it too. So we're like,
There is, So, I mean, again, like Instagram is test. Like you got to just test everything, but it's not just me posting. Like I have I have people that are actually posting for me, like growth strategists that are like helping to grow. Like I'm doing a lot of the stories, you know, I try to get into my stories and do a lot of personal connection. But at the same time, post in a consistent way. Like we look at the times that most people that where our peak times for posting, and like I think mine is like 4 p.m. or 6 p.m. Pacific, and so typically my guys and or myself will post at that specific time, and if it's not me, it's my guys, right? And so they're incidentally are my also the guys that shoot some of my videos. So they come in, they shoot videos, and we'll have content now that we can use for quite a while. And at first we were doing it where we were doing little posts, you know, we would do an Instagram post and then say, watch the rest of it on IGTV,
right?
You know, and that's how you had to do it. And until recently, which this is interesting because I've seen more engagement this way where you can actually now go into IGTV and upload like under, you know, an under 10 minute video. And then there's an option to preview it as a post and in Instagram. So instead of, so what I'm noticing basically is like before my Instagram TV would get like 30 views or 50 views. Right now, when I do it, and maybe you can, I know you guys are watching, but like when you go into one now, you know, this one has 5,121 views, you know, and it's because it previews in Instagram.
So it's literally like it's basically creating the post for you on your behalf, but piping people over that way using the engagement who's already on your feed or so, seeing
and
their feed.
So Instagram stories, those are like 10 minutes or less. And then obviously on your actual feed, it's like a minute or less, right?
Instagram TV is 10 minutes or less. Instagram stories are those 15 second ones, right?
Right.
So there's like two different things working here.
Okay, so you got Instagram TV, which is 10 minutes or less. You've got your Instagram feed, which the videos are a minute in the feed or less, right? And then you've got stories, which are 15 second clips.
Yes, so, exactly.
So what you're saying is if you post a video on Instagram TV that's, say, 9 minutes long, Instagram now gives you the option to say, do you want us to post the first minute of this video in your regular feed, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah. And, well, I've just noticed that has also bumped up my how much of Instagram TV someone's watching. And I think there's a different algorithm for Instagram TV. And there's like you can get found like, you know, if you depending on, you know, I don't think it's as tapped. And that's why I can probably get a bigger reach on Instagram TV.
Right.
But it, you know, if you were to ask what like the growth strategies have been, it's consistency. It's also engaging on the posts that are made. So like responding to everybody
to comments
on every single post,
even the spam ones where it's just like a picture of like a fire emoji or something.
Yeah, and just reply back with a fire emoji.
Yeah,
I mean, like, but and then also like, you know, kind of looking at the people that are following you and seeing what they're doing. Like if you look at and see someone who has a blue check mark that's following you, then you know that they're, you know, they're actually vetted at that point. And you can see who they're following and what kind of content they're liking. And it can kind of help you to understand what kind of content you could put out there to resonate with them more so that they like it more, they'll share it more. that's one thing we're doing. Another thing is like being a part of different campaigns that are going out where they bundle influencers together. And then you're kind of getting more followers or more exposure in that regard too.
How does that work? I'm kind of curious if you can explain that a little more.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, I'm not the one doing it. I have I have somebody who's actually doing it for me. But it's where they will, let's say like 20 or 30 influencers will be highlighted over a period of time. And you could like put like gifts or bonuses or some sort of like, put a gift into like a pool of people,
like a lead magnet kind of thing. And everybody's kind of giving their own sort of lead magnet kind of thing into the pool.
And then kind of everybody can grow, right? Gotcha. Like if you go in and you're a part of like a campaign where, you know, hey, if you follow this person, make sure to be able to get all of these bonuses. You have to follow this person, 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 right? And you're in that list and you all offered a bonus. Now, I think I pay for campaigns like that where I'm not actually putting a bonus in, but they're still putting me in that list. So it's a pay-to-play sort of thing as well.
And how would somebody find something like that? Like where do you find the people that are organizing the campaigns?
That's
you know what it was for me it was word of mouth
word
like
of mouth,
I literally got it from friends, you know what I mean?
It's interesting. Like that's what we've heard the same thing though, because we've worked with an Instagram guy and they kind of describe something very similar to that, but didn't get the full picture. But I'm like, okay, something's happening. This is how you really leverage everybody's follower base and kind of ramp up together.
Well, because we've heard of a lot of people talking about like Instagram drops, where it's like you get a big influencer that has, say, like 100,000, a million followers on Instagram. They post a post on their thing. And then as part of the description, they're saying, hey, if you're not following so-and-so, follow them now. Right. And you get people to go and actually make a post on an influencer's Instagram to try to get people to trickle down to your Instagram. And we tried doing that and we actually did get above that 10,000 mark so that we can like actually have the swipe up thing in our story. The people that we got onto it haven't been quite as engaged as we would have hoped.
Right.
Yeah. So do you know this Social Blade? Have you ever heard of that?
Heard of it. Never experienced it though.
You can track your, you can track your engagement. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's cool because you can see, what level of engagement you may have in your day-to-day stuff. Like I think that the thing is like you want to get in front of the right people and then you have to keep them, you want to make sure that they want to consume the content. So it's like I find that the stories are the best way to keep them in there. And I think oftentimes like it's the fastest way for you to create content, right?
That's true.
Rather than just uploading. And for me, luckily, like I can do that where somebody else might do the posting. I can focus on the stories and I can say like, you know, sometimes it's just me walking the dog, you know, and talking or like yesterday I did mention that I had a friend from high school that passed and she was like, she's young and she was a girl I dated, you know, and it's like, and I was just sharing like that stuff, which to me, it's like, I just felt like I needed to share it. And, you know, just sharing your life oftentimes helps people to understand who you are as a human. And like that's the type of stuff people care about. I mean, while at the same time, you know, having something that will help them too, you know, like, so for me, it's stories have become more about me just sharing, you know, my family and just what's kind of going on in my life. I think that can help, you know,
I think
with just like making people see how normal of a human you are.
No,
right? Exactly.
Yeah. I think everybody has like a little like subtle voyeur in them, right? Like everybody's a little bit voyeuristic where when they see really successful people or people that are where they want to be, they get a little bit of like, I want to know what makes them tick. I want to see a little behind the scenes. I want to see like, I want to see what their day looks like when they're not like on, you know, doing an Instagram video or a webinar or something,
which I'm doing
this is
right
very
now.
Meta right now. Both Casey and Joe are Instagramming
you,
this.
And I think you just videoed me.
I did. That was not planned at all, and it was great.
That's awesome.
I know, that's funny.
So I'm curious, because I literally was just struggling as I was about to do this. I was like, should I post this on my personal or on our brand?
Probably personal. I have, I have a whole new philosophy on that.
I actually
that.
Put it on the brand, but yeah, I probably will. I didn't post it yet. But what's your take on that? Because I know you do a lot of personal branding.
I do. Most of it goes through my personal, but like my guys have started to say, like, listen, all we have to do is like tag your business, and then it can go, you know, then it will
share it.
That's what I was actually about to suggest that we start doing is like, anytime I share a personal story that's like relevant to the business, all I have to do is tag Evergreen Profits.
Yeah.
And then our guy who runs, we have somebody that runs that account for us. Every time he sees me like tag that account in a story, he'll know to share that to our Evergreen Profits story.
Yeah. And we're still trying to dial in our systems a little bit.
Yeah. That way we get to live inside of our personal stories, but then anything business related gets shared across to our business story as well.
I like that. Yeah.
I mean, anything you guys share, like if you guys see there's two of you and you have one business, so it's like you guys are, if you do your stories on your personal and just always tag Evergreen Business, like then you're always going to have full complete content and there's two of you to do it.
Yeah.
And all your person would have to do is go into Evergreen Profits and be like, and say, approve.
Exactly.
You know, to have it show up in that story. And then you might, you know, just from that alone, you may get, you know, people that are following you because of your stories that are on those additional platforms.
You know what's awesome right now is Steven, who runs our IG, is also our show notes writer, and he's listening to this podcast currently. So
he's also the host of the upcoming podcast Hustle and Flow Shorts.
He's the host. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're basically training him right now for us. So there you go, Steven.
Oh, that's awesome. The shorts. That's interesting. Is that like outtakes or is that like a shorter?
Here's the concept of Hustle and Flow Shorts. So this podcast, Hustle and Flow Chart, our episodes are typically minimum of about an hour. Sometimes they go as long as 2 hours. So Steven is actually listening to these episodes and finding like the gold nuggets of wisdom in like 5-10 minute clips. And so it's going to be a daily show
that
repurposes just like gold nugget clips from our longer form content. And then it's a benefit to our guests because he's still going to give a shout out to our guests' URL. Mm-hmm. It's a benefit to us because we're going to get more people listening to our podcast because now we have a short form version and a long form version.
It's so brilliant. We're pretty stoked on it because it's highly leveraged.
And it's just like repurposing this stuff, right? Like it's so good.
He does an intro, tease it off, points him back to the main episode. So you'll get, you know, triple the love or quadruple the love with this one interview.
Yeah. I know. So we're getting sort of tight on time, and there's a couple little things I wanted to touch on. One's a real super quick question about Instagram. I noticed you're doing this, and I've seen a lot of other entrepreneurs doing this, where there's these like Instagram posts that almost look like screenshots of Twitter tweets.
Yeah.
Is that what they are? Are you like posting something on Twitter, screenshotting it and posting it to Instagram? Or is that like a function inside Instagram? Because I'm seeing it a lot lately.
Casey's shaking his head.
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't do it. I am not the
best answer ever. I'm happy.
Like, I just said to him, hey, I saw Lewis House doing that. Can you do that? And he was like, yeah, sure. No problem. And so, yeah, now it looks, it's not from Twitter. I mean, it's manufactured, I believe. I mean, I think it's like an template. Easy thing that they're like,
oh, they're probably using like Snappa or Canva or something like that to like quickly throw.
I could see that.
It really could be. And I wish I knew what they were doing, but now I think there's an editor that my guys go into because like the spacing in Instagram was always something that I couldn't seem to figure out. But now mine is looking pretty strong.
Yours
pretty
looks good.
Great. I think I've seen Lewis Howes do it. I've seen Derek Halburn do it. I've seen there's a handful of people on Instagram I've seen doing it, and I've always just thought like, oh, they must be tweeting and then screenshotting the tweet and just reposting the screenshot to Instagram. But it doesn't look like that's what's happening. It doesn't look like a Twitter screenshot to me. So I was just kind of curious, but I kind of like the fact that you don't know, because that means you got a team that's doing your shit and running it for you.
That's what I'm saying. I love that answer that you don't know, because I'd probably answer the same way. I don't have no clue.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to know at one point, because I was like, how do I do this? I want to do it myself. And I just realized like when I was doing Instagram myself, I was doing these long, really long posts, which is good.
Yeah.
And they were thought provoking, but it took up so much of my time and day. Whereas now it's more of like, if I can stick with the stories and stick with doing something like on Instagram TV, then my content guys can just strip something out that I said mm-hmm. and that I did and take an image and then put that in as a post, right? And so, and then so that can be repurposed, like the and anything, like you guys have so much content because you do podcasts on a weekly basis. So it's like
do a week, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could like strip out anything. If you had somebody, you know, running it for you, you could probably do that. I think it's a question of like it's hard to measure like what's the ROI from growing in your Instagram.
Yeah.
Social proof is a big factor, I think. Mm-hmm. Here's my plan. In the next 45 days, the plan is to have 100,000 followers on Instagram.
Nice.
Okay. That's the plan. We'll see what that does. We'll see I'll let you know what it does. And then in a year, I'd like to have within a year, 350,000 followers on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll let you know what that does too when I get there.
Cool. Well, we're going to do a follow-up episode once you hit 350,000.
Yeah, hell yeah. So the intention behind it, obviously personal brand, you know, credibility and all that, is there a bigger thing? Like, is this for Easy Webinar to be seen as like more enterprise or maybe, you know, courting a buyer or something? You know, like, hey, I'm legit, you know, like.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you look at what Russell Brunson is doing, you know, he's got 350,000 followers on Instagram and he is that exuberant leader of the, you know, of the tool. And so like what I've been trying to consciously be is more of the ambassador around the tool, but the ideas around Easy Webinar, right? Freedom of life, automation, engagement. Like these are the things that the software was designed to do. So I'm just trying to be that sort of, ambassador to that idea,
you know,
and just like, how can I be more of that, you know, because like not only do I have the need to have more automation and engagement in my own life and business because we have three kids and, you know, like our software helps me, you know, with funnels and things like that. Right.
Yeah.
And so
I love that.
Connect with my audience more. And so I just want to be that, you know, I want to be that sort of, example while at the same time, just like, you know, like, person that proselytizes that, right? Mm-hmm. That talks about that, you know, says, listen, this is my goal is I'm not, you know, and also coming at it from the type of clientele I'd like to attract, right? Yeah. We have a lot of women that use our system and we're not really talking about like fast cars and, you know, and things like that. In a lot of what my message is, a lot of it's more like family, how to, you know, just be your best self and how to create more impact, but have more time. You know, I think like that's really how I want to position. And so I'm trying to be that, that exuberant leader and person that is not only, you know, the person that is the, you know, founder of it, but also someone who's using it and using it so that I have more time with my family. So I'm just trying to be that that personal, that's where the personal brand is kind of bridging into the tool. Also with the coaching and things like that. So it's like I feel like it all kind of
comes together.
Nice. Instead of, you know, I was behind the brand for a long time. Well, if you go to Easy Webinar, you won't find me anywhere.
Right.
Like, you might find some images, but I'm not the one that does our 30-day onboarding.
Yeah.
Right. And so not many people know that, you know, if they're using Easy Webinar, they may now, you know, they may know me after a while, but I'm not necessarily forward front.
It's not like this is Casey's software, buy it because I'm Casey.
It used to be more of like something like that, but now it's more on its own. And then I can focus on being a personal brand that will proselytize and say, if you want freedom of life, if you want more, connectivity with your audience, this is the way we've done it. This is the way that this, our software, which I'm a founder of, can do it. And so that's kind of idea behind the personal brand, grow it so that I can empower people to have more freedom of life using The Power of Automation Engagement kind of covers that idea of mine, which is tribe minded, you know, which is,
I think that's smart. Kind of, I think
it's very smart.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think a lot of people actually kind of screw this up. I think so many people put a lot of focus on building a brand for a business, a software, a product that they're selling, and don't put enough focus on their personal brand that transcends that product. Because what happens when you go and sell that business? You're starting from ground zero again, right? Where if you build a personal brand and everybody knows you for creating great software, you can go and sell the entire EasyWebinar business, and you're not starting from scratch because you have a personal brand, you have a following of people who listen to you. They're not following you because of your product. They're following you because of you. And I think so many companies miss that boat. I think so many companies want to put all this time in branding a big, like branding their product. And I just, I think you need to focus on both. I think it's important to do both.
Yeah.
I think so, because like, as you just said, like, you know, we have another tool that we're planning still to launch out, which is the sales CRM, which we've, you know, had in the back for a while, but like we plan on rolling it out. And I think that when you have your own platform, you can do so much more with it. And you know, I think you need to have both, right? Yeah. You need to have your product has to be autonomous. It has to live on its own. But at the same time, I think that, you know, if people understand why someone built a product or tool and the whole reason for it and what they're trying to do. Like, this is what we're trying to do right now. This is why I'm talking about rebranding. We're trying to really hone in more on the messaging behind the software. We changed it. Like, that was what it, like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we were really focused on the message. Our website design was crap, but the message was kind of on point. And then we said, well, we want to go more SaaS and really highlight the features and benefits and stuff like that. And then we realized that we didn't have as much story in the message anymore. And so now we're kind of going back and trying to have story and the features and the benefits combined now. And so, and my goal is to just be that ambassador where I'm like talking about the story, you know, to give more insight into the story. I'm going to try to do more interviews with our top EasyWebinar people in different industries and just like start to highlight what they're doing and you know, do more of that. And I think that if my Instagram grows and my social platform grows, it gives me more authority for even doing that.
Yeah,
sure does. So, yeah.
Well, dude, this has been amazing. Unfortunately, we have time constraints, but I'm sure you will be around for round three at some point. Probably once you hit 300 plus thousand followers on Instagram,
it's gonna happen soon.
We'll get your blueprint for how to do it.
I know we didn't even like really go into EasyWebinar much.
Which I wanted to touch on webinars a little bit too, but we didn't.
What are like? Do you have a? I know you're redesigning some UI and all that stuff. It's an amazing tool, by the way. There's just, I mean, countless features and benefits to it all. Are there a couple of things that you're super excited that are coming out soon, or things that people should know about?
Well, like we had a meeting in San Diego with our like one percenters, like with some of the people that are doing $1 million plus with EasyWebinar.
Nice.
And they told us what they were really interested in. And so we decided that we had a timeline, but we are now taking some of those things and putting it in front of what we were planning on rolling out. But some of it is like related to like direct SMS integrations. In an intuitive mobile experience that where we already have that, but we're going beyond that now. We're trying to like the people we talk to generate like 60,000 leads a month, with EasyWebinar, or if not more. And so the speed by which someone registers for a webinar needs to be really on. So the fewer steps, the better. So, you know, we really dove into what can we do to make those steps fewer and increase their not only registration but attendance rate in the best way. And so now we're adding, which we've always done. I mean, that's why more people have started coming to us, because we're faster than Webinar Jam and a few others that are doing this stuff. But now we're going even deeper. Like, what's, you know, like auto selecting, especially for mobile, like auto selecting, you know, where if it's email, auto selecting the screen where the email might show up, or or, you know, if there's a need for numbers, auto selecting the numbers, you know. So it's like, it's just like little intuitive things to make fewer steps for the people registering, and then a better show up rate as well. And so some of that, as well as some live features, you know, because we're going more all in on our live platform, not just Evergreen, but live. And so we have a couple new things that are going to be rolling out soon where you can actually, and it's not out yet, and don't ask me when it's coming out because I never want to, like, I can't commit it's to fun. It. But one thing we're working on is being able to come on to a webinar on your phone. So you can become a presenter from your phone.
Oh, that's cool.
Into the webinar.
So
kind of like a FaceTiming into the webinar.
Yeah, for the live webinar.
That's really cool.
You guys probably know, like we rolled out, like, with our live platform, the ability to push video into it. So now you can run hybrid webinars through that. We push into Facebook Live and YouTube Live at the same time now, or one or the other from our live engine. And for Evergreen, you know, the whole thing is like we're still on top of like being able to play on any device in real time using players like Wistia, Vimeo, or YouTube, Amazon S3, or just taking what was once live with our live engine and pushing it into using it for one of our automated webinars.
Very cool.
So those are things we're doing. People and our one percenters care more about the video playing in real time than something like, let's say, simulated chat.
Yeah.
It's really interesting because
I've never really liked simulated chat either. I kind of understand that.
Yeah. And it's been funny because we've actually had more customers come in that have said, do you do simulated chat? Because they feel sort of like that is duping an audience. So what we've been really conscious of is trying to make you look good, right?
Yeah.
Like, how can you choose a software that is automated, that has the experience of webinars while you still have integrity? That's what our job is basically, to keep you with, you know, keeping integrity, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why we haven't rolled it in. We have realized that our top people that's not the top of their list. The top of their list is playing in real time, on all devices, at all times, you know, and that's what they care most about. And a lot of other platforms don't even do that. So that's the whole reason we're doing
it. I love
Easy Webinar. It's like, you already have this amazing software fountain. I mean, you've been around forever. I did a sales video for you in one of your very first iterations. I know how many years ago that was now.
Probably back when it was Easy Webinar.
I was just
plugin.
Thinking about that the other day because I was like, man, I wonder if I can, I think I need to talk to Joe about, like, because that was such a good sales video that you helped me with.
I loved it making it too because it was very unique. My sister was even involved in making hand illustrations.
It was one of my favorite sales videos that has ever been made. And I'm like, I wish I could still use that.
Yeah. Oh, you say that, like, to all your video sales letter makers.
Don't tell me that. Easy Webinar is amazing. I'll help you out with whatever's needed. Or direct you that way. But
cool.
Yeah. Check it out. We'll link everything in the show notes, of course, to go dive deeper in Easy Webinar. But anywhere else you want to send folks? Check out your Instagram. We'll link that up
too. You can go to Instagram at Casey Zeman, CaseyZeman. I almost forgot my own name. and if you want to look at Easy Webinar, easywebinar.com. And I've been doing more blogs on my personal blog page, CaseyZeman.com/blog. But anybody can DM me. I'm very approachable and, you know, I'll talk to anybody.
And we do actually have like a cool little bonus package we put together for people who get Easy Webinar through our affiliate link as well. So we'll make sure that's linked up as well for anybody who wants to see the bonuses that we throw out there. Cause we use Easy Webinar. We actually just finished recording a webinar a few days ago that we're going to be ramping up with Easy Webinar soon. We've been out of the webinar game for a while, but we're back in it.
We're about to hit it hard now. So this is perfect timing.
Yeah.
And your bonuses are killer, by the way. I remember them. So it's
Thank you. We're going to be adding more to them.
I believe that people like to buy tools and software from the people that they know, like, and trust. And I think after hearing you today, I don't know how anybody could not like you. So go buy Casey software.
You're one of them.
There you go.
All right, Casey.
I know. I'm such a people pleaser. Okay, so if anyone doesn't like me,
he'll pay for it for you. No, I'm just kidding.
Easy to like guy. Yeah. Really quick, do you have a book that I know we asked you this probably last time, but anything new that you've been reading or you've been recommending to folks?
It's only on my mind. Like Todd Herman's book is awesome.
Okay, that's a newer one, right? The
Power of Secret Identities.
Alter Ego. I think it's called
Alter Ego. Yeah, the power of alter egos to get ahead, and I can't remember the title of it. Yeah. It's literally in my bag, maybe though.
Well, it'll be linked up in the show notes. So anybody listening to this, we'll make sure we link it up. It's Todd Herman's book. It's called like The Alter Ego Effect or something like that.
He's booked on the show, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, did he speak alter? Yeah, I think it's Alter Ego. Yes, The Alter Ego Effect. You're exactly right.
Yeah, it is. I've been going back and forth with Todd to try to get him on the show, so we're kind of trying to lock down times. But
The Power of Secret Identities to Transform Your Life.
That's very cool.
I like it. Yeah, I got to check that out.
I read it on the plane. I read it. I mean, it was just like such an easy read for me, and I can't recommend it high. Like it was helpful. Like I recognized that I was doing that when I had to go to Haiti to get my kids home. Like I had to create secret identity, like an alter ego, to be able to be even forceful enough to go in with that intention, because like I'm not a very like confrontational person, so I had to be that confrontational,
right?
Like
I remember Jason you saying
Bourne,
that
type of person. So anyway,
that's good.
Awesome. Well, we'll link that up. Everybody go check out easywebinar.com. Check out Casey Zeman on Instagram. We'll also link up to the last episode we did with you, because we didn't really get into your backstory this time, because I know we covered it last time. So we'll link that up as well. And thanks for hanging out.
It's always a pleasure talking to you guys.
Yeah, thanks, man. Same. All right, buddy. Have a great one.
I'll see you guys later.
Okay. You too.
Bye. Bye.
All right. Thank you. And I hope you just enjoyed this episode you just listened to. Now, right now, before we sign off, I have a few things I would love for you to do. So the very first thing is to go find our guest on Facebook and tell them that you loved their episode with us. That's going to help them just feel good about themselves, but also it's going to spread the word a little bit more for us. So go find them on Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook, and go say that you love their episode and maybe one cool thing that you learned there. The second thing is to go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. Just look up Hustle and Flowchart and hit the subscribe button. And the very last thing, the third thing, is to leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast and help us spread the word more. That's how more people are going to get this awesome knowledge, this cool podcast training, and a whole bunch of other cool free training that we give out at evergreenprofits.com. So that's about it. Go find them on Facebook, go subscribe on iTunes, and leave us a review. You would be amazing if you did that, but you're always amazing. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode.